One of our songs in the songbook, we sing about daring to stand like Joshua. And whenever I sing that song, I think a lot about what exactly does it mean to stand like Joshua. And of course, the basis of the song is found right here, which is fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that's the stand that Joshua took, and the song makes that very clear in the chorus, where it says, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. But for the Christian, how do we stand like Joshua? He speaks of idols. He speaks of the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, the gods which you served in Egypt, and the gods which you will see and find when you come into the land of Canaan. Will you serve those gods, or will you dare to stand like Joshua and serve only the Lord? I've often thought, and I really think there's a parallel here because there's nothing new under the sun, that the denominations today are very comparable to the idols in the days of Joshua. In the days of Joshua, if you wanted an idol, if you wanted to be able to commit adultery, if you wanted to be able to have a god of violence where you could be rude and cruel to people, then you could find a god. You could find a god among the nations that would allow you to do anything you wanted to do, and I really think that oftentimes that's the reason they liked idolatry. It wasn't the other gods that they wanted. It was the things those other gods allowed them to do. And that's exactly what we find in the denominations today. If you want to serve Jesus Christ in a church that allows you, and then just fill in the blank, you can find a church today that will allow you to do that. So daring to stand like Joshua today means that we are going to stand with the Lord in the Lord's church doing what the Lord has asked us to do. And so we ask the question, are we like Joshua, or are we like Israel? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, we're given a very similar question, or a very similar contrast. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. That's the gods that they served beyond the river. That's the gods that Terah and Abraham, that's the gods that Rachel brought back from Laban. These are the gods that Israel had been serving all the way back before the time of Abraham. They were conforming themselves to their former lusts, whatever those gods allowed them to do. And of course, that's all lost in antiquity now. We really don't know the difference between the god of the Amorites, the gods beyond the river, the gods of the Assyrians, the gods of the Ninevites, all of these gods, each one having a combination of what? Of former lusts. The only reason that you're going to stop serving God and move to an idol is because the idol allows you the freedom to live as you please. That's what the Baals offered to the children of Israel. The reason they went to the Baals is not because the Baals were better than God. It's because the Baals allowed them to do things they wanted to do that God wouldn't allow them to do. Many of the things God called death penalty offenses were allowed by, and not only allowed by, but you worshiped your God with those things. You worshiped your God by killing your children. You worshiped your God by committing homosexuality or committing fornication or committing adultery. That's how they worshiped. And today, we see very similar things again in the denominations. So, as obedient children, we're going to stand like Joshua if we're not conforming ourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. You know, we'd be perfectly content to be in the Church of Christ and to follow the scriptures exactly the way they are revealed if we don't have any former lusts. Verse 15, as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we are just like Joshua. We too have to choose day after day whom we will serve. Will we serve the former lusts as in our ignorance? Will we want to go back to some other period in our lives where life was freer and looking back on it now maybe seems like it was a little more enjoyable? So we have to choose whether we're going to go back to those former lusts or are we going to dare to stand and be holy as I am holy? Brethren, let's be clear here. The same pain, the same trials and difficulties that Joshua faced when he was taking his stand are exactly the same problems and difficulties that we face today. So when Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, can we concur with that? As you look at your former lusts, as you look at the responsibilities and obligations that you agreed to when you became a Christian, when we agreed to become a Christian, we agreed to be holy as God is holy. We agreed that Jesus was Lord. And as Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord? If you're just going to keep doing what you want and not do what I say. So the important thing, though, is how did Joshua arrive at that stand? The words to Joshua in chapter 24, that's the end of his life. He's 110 years old now. But at this point in his life, he is just beginning. And this is the stand that God encouraged him to take. And it's fascinating how closely the stand that Joshua was told to take by God and the stand that Jesus, through his apostles, has asked us to take. So as we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Not a single idol of a single city or a single country that you're going to go into with these seven nations of Canaan, they will not be able to withstand. No one will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Now, the question is, was Joshua special? Or do we have the same promise? Yes, we have the same promise. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what's the difference between so we may boldly say and saying be strong and of good courage? I know. What Moses did for Joshua, Jesus has done for us. The law that God gave through Moses is the law that God gave through Jesus. The stand that Joshua took with the law of Moses is the same stand that we should be taking. But we need courage. God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, the whole world may stand against what we teach out of the scriptures. It's getting closer and closer. Many of the things that we used to be able to say in front of people with no real care or concern at all, it takes courage to say them now. It takes courage to stand against homosexuality. It takes courage to stand against men who want to wear what pertains to a woman and women who want to pray to wear what pertains to a man. It takes courage to say, I'm a man or I'm a woman. How in the world did we get here? But we have. I will not leave you or forsake you. You know, we're standing with God. The whole world may turn against, but God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. During the times of Jeremiah found himself in the same boat. The whole world had turned against God. He was the only one left who was preaching the scriptures, and every time he dared to open his mouth, they laughed at him. They scoffed at him. They beat him. They imprisoned him. They mistreated him and persecuted him. But Jeremiah stood like Joshua. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You know, that's an interesting statement. Oftentimes when we think of covetousness, we think of money. But when God talked to the children of Israel about it, he said, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not covet your neighbor's servant or your neighbor's possession. But it's further than that. Every lust that we have is covetousness, because we want something God says you can't have. We want to go beyond what God has allowed us to have. So let your conduct be without covetousness is very little different than Joshua's statement to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord? We're going to serve the Lord. God says, I will never leave you. In chapter 13 and verse 5, he himself has said. Now, many think that this verse is based on Joshua. They look the same, don't they? I will never leave you. I will not leave you. Nor forsake you, nor forsake you. It sounds about the same. There's two other places in the Old Testament where this same phrase is used. But when we talk about standing like Joshua, we need to understand something. The person we're standing with has made a promise to us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We can boldly say, now we may or may not say it, but we can boldly say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or, as here, the Lord is my helper. Lord's on my side. I don't have to be afraid. I can take a stand. Because the whole rest of the world, they can't do anything. As we saw last week, if God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors if we stand with God. So taking the stand, first and foremost, is a decision to be holy as God is holy and to put our faith in God and tell ourselves we will never, ever turn our backs on God. We will never be afraid and not take a stand. Now, God's instructions to Joshua are very important, and I want us to think about them and see how close we are. When we sing, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, we need to understand this is the foundation. This is the core. If you're doing these things, you will stand like Joshua. If you're not, you can't. So he goes on to say, and it's interesting how many times God says this in his statement, be strong and very courageous. He's already said that in the previous verse. But then if you look at the end of it, where he says, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Of course we're going to have strong and courageous. Now, there's several things he asks for here. I need to be strong and courageous, first of all, to observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, and of course the only change there that we would have would be Jesus. Joshua lived under the old covenant. We live under the new covenant. Joshua's stand was based on what God had revealed to Moses. Our stand is based on what Jesus revealed to us. So, you may observe to do according to all the law. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Right there is where so many today are not standing like Joshua. They have turned to the right or to the left. You know, if you just make a few small compromises, you can get along with people. If we don't teach the truth on baptism, if we don't take a stand on instrumental music, if we don't take a stand on Jesus' words that whosoever divorces his wife except for the cause of fornication, marries another, commits adultery, if we just let those kinds of things go, we can get along with people. People will look at us with respect. They won't laugh. They won't persecute. But if we're going to dare to stand like Joshua, do not turn from it. The smallest compromise, we're not standing anymore. We're flat on our face. God does not want compromise. He wants us to stand. Stand, therefore, Paul tells the Ephesians. Do not turn to the light, right or to the left, that you may prosper. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Never stop talking about it. And you shall meditate in it day and night. Never stop thinking about it. So that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Of course, if we're not thinking about the Word of God, we can't observe it because we aren't thinking about what we need to observe. And if we're never talking about it, we're not going to remember it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, let's take a closer look at the instructions to Joshua. First of all, God asks him to be strong and courageous, to do the following things. Be strong and courageous, to observe to do according to all that the law commanded. It takes a lot of courage to do that today. We're seeing this in Malawi. It takes a lot of courage, even though this is where we've always stood. These new people who've come along, they are mocking and laughing and creating problems for anyone who will not stop observing what the law commanded. We need to be strong and courageous. It takes courage and strength to be a member of the Lord's church. It takes courage and strength to stand against all of the error that's in the world today and all of the error that is in the denominations today, which is piling on and piling on to where we look very strange. We are a very peculiar people in America today, just like they were in the first century. So observe to do. Have the courage to take a stand. It's funny how the very things that in the world make us feel small are the very things that God says will make us strong. Just like the children of Israel who 40 years earlier, before Moses or before God told Joshua this, said, "We're just grasshoppers." No, you're not grasshoppers. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. So do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. If you do that, those two things, if you observe to do all that the law commands, and you don't turn from it for the right or to the left, you will prosper wherever you go. So these little stands that we take on baptism, on instrumental music, on what the church teaches about the Lord's Supper, what the what the scriptures teach about church autonomy, what they teach about the work of the church, we are standing out in a strange way, in so many different ways today, not only to the world, because the ungodly in the world will never understand the godliness and the holiness in the scriptures, but even the denominations. We cannot even fit in. We call ourselves a church. They call themselves a church. But I don't know where the idiom came from, but we kind of stick out like a sore thumb. We're different. Joshua was different. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Every sermon, every point we make, we have a scripture. We know what we're saying is the truth. The Thessalonians searched the scriptures daily to see if the things they were hearing were true. Book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We'll talk a little more about that in a few moments. You shall meditate in it day and night. Brethren, how often outside of the first day of the week assemblies do we think about the scriptures? I mean, are we thinking about them throughout our work day? Are we thinking about them while we're watching television? Do we think about them while we're having conversations with friends and loved ones? Is it guiding us? Are we thinking, oh, I better not say that because this scripture says this? Well, if I'm not meditating on the scriptures, I may never think that, and I won't take that stand. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. That's all God wants. He wants us to stand like Joshua. He wants us to observe to do all that is in the law of Christ. That's all God wants. And if we do that, we will make our way prosperous. And we will have good success. So, those who dare to stand like Joshua, these are our marching orders. And I hope as we've gone through this, you've said, yeah, 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 that's me, that's me. That's exactly what I want. I'm going to stand like that. So we need courage and strength to do this. Well, what about observing to do according to all the law? What did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandment. Which ones? Well, the most important ones are the ones you don't want to do. Rest of them are simple. I think we've made this illustration in the past. If mom and dad leave and they say, now look, son, want you to obey, or daughter, I want you to obey me. I expect you to eat ice cream every night. Well, there's a tough command, isn't it? I can really show my parents how much I love them by eating ice cream every night. Well, that would be simple, and that's how a lot of denominations want it to be. But God didn't just say, eat ice cream every night. He didn't just say, do what you want to do every night. He said, do what I want you to do. And oftentimes, we see those commandments as very difficult because they can't conform to our former lusts anymore, because we can't fit in this world anymore, because it's going to cost us something. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, isn't that an interesting way to put it? He who has, doesn't everybody have his commandments? Well, they do if they're speaking about them every day. They do if they are thinking about them every day. They do if they want to do them every day. But many don't. Many have set aside or put behind them the commandments they don't want to do. And of course, when we bring them up to them, they get angry. It amazes me when I sit down and study with somebody with the scriptures, and I read a scripture to them and it makes them mad. Well, it makes them mad because they put that one out of their mind and they don't want to be reminded about it. That's why Cain got mad. He knew what God had told him. He just didn't want to do it. And when God brought it up, he got angry. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So first we buy the truth. We have to figure out what these commandments are. We have to learn them. And then, excuse me, we have to do them. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Can you see what is tied to the commandments of Jesus? If you have his commandments and you keep them, number one, you love him. Number two, you are loved by his Father. And number three, you are loved by Jesus, and Jesus will manifest himself to you. So keeping these commandments, these minor commandments that the denominations find so easy to set aside, are reflecting their lack of love for Jesus, and unfortunately they are the barrier between which God loves them or can't love them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but only those who believe will never perish. God has nothing he can do for those people who refuse to accept. Then in John 15:10, he says the same thing. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is a fascinating point because I've never found anyone in the denominations who says, you know, the Lord could set aside God's commands whenever he needed to because he understood the grace of God. And he understood the mercy of God. So he didn't have to keep all of God's commandments because God understood. No, everybody understands that Jesus had to keep all of God's commandments. He couldn't be our perfect sacrifice. But notice what he says. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as, or exactly as, or the same way that I kept my Father's commandments. And then Jesus told his apostles, you teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's what we're saying when we say, I'm going to stand like Joshua. Now, it's really nice to think, oh, Joshua took a stand. Well, what exactly does that mean? Well, this is what it means. And it takes a lot of courage to do it. So it takes a lot of courage. These verses, we've been talking a lot about them. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples, and you'll know the truth. In 2 John 9, if you go beyond, you don't have God. If you stay, you have the Father and the Son. Not everyone who calls me Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And teach them to observe all things that I command you, and I will be with you always. But so many have turned from these truths that it truly does take courage to stand. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. If you stand with truth today, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be scorned. You're going to be looked down upon. You're going to be treated like there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me because I'm taking a stand on the scriptures and you're right. Because like the rest of the world, you won't. Does that make any sense? But that's what Peter says. There will be false teachers among you, and that's exactly what they're going to say. They're going to bring in these destructive heresies. They're going to deny the authority of Jesus. And they're going to lead to the scriptures themselves to be blasphemed. Paul was wrong. That's blasphemy, brethren. So there's 3 points that we can remember. First of all, our tongue. Let not this word depart from your mouth. Secondly, our heart. Meditate on it day and night. Thirdly, our conduct. Observe to do all that is written therein. So that's how we stand like Joshua. So tomorrow, in the middle of the day, just ask yourself, am I still thinking about the Word of God all the time? Have I been thinking about the Word of God? Have I been judging my words, my thoughts, my conduct, my activity, what I want to say to my friends, what I think, how I feel, how I drive? The Word will not depart. I'm constantly comparing the Word of God with what I'm doing right now. How can we repent and confess if we're not doing that? The more we know about the Scriptures and the more we think about the Scriptures, the more holy we can be. The less that we think about the Scriptures and the more that we're being conformed to this world, because let's face it, you can't be transformed by the renewing of your mind unless you can prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. And you can't do that if you're not thinking about it. But you can't think of it if you don't know it. So we have to think about, study, talk about, and observe. That's how you stand like Joshua. So the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And that's exactly what God says. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. We don't stop talking about God's word. And we don't stop talking about the way the word wants us to talk. There's so many passages that talk about how the tongue needs to be bridled. And he says if a man thinks he's religious but won't bridle his tongue, his religion is useless. Your religion is useless, brethren, if you're not thinking about the Word of God day and night and never talking or never stopping to talk about it. Think about it and have it regulating the words that come out of your mouth. So, again, we like to sing, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, but it takes a lot of courage and a lot of effort and a lot of strength to stand like Joshua did. You shall meditate in it day and night. We don't stop thinking about God's Word. We are constantly considering, assessing God's Word. What we should do and what we shouldn't do. What we need to repent of and what we don't need to repent of. What we need to confess and what we don't need to confess. Never stop doing. So you see those 3 points. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And observe to do all that is written in it. Now how do we measure up? We just stop right there. If we say, okay, my lesson tonight has 3 points. Don't stop thinking about God's word. Can't think about what you haven't put in there yet. So I guess that means don't stop reading God's Word. We're not reading our Bible all the time. We're not putting in our mind. If we're not putting in our minds, it's impossible for us to meditate in it day and night. And then observation. Doing it. So, if any among you thinks he's really... Well, we talked about this one. Let's keep going here. In your hearts regard Christ, the Lord, as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. My tongue needs to be ready at all times. Your tongue needs to be ready. We're going to stand like Joshua. Now, Joshua was the guy who had to go into city after city after city and do battle. His job, in many respects, was much more difficult than ours is. He had to kill every man, every woman, and every child his whole life for 30 years, city after city after city after city. I think sometimes about what the children of Israel had to do in those first few years as they came into the Promised Land. And I think to myself, that was a tough period to live in. And that would have been, and for Joshua to stand on that and never waver, it took courage. It took meditating on his word day and night. It took, because we want to be compassionate. God says they need to die, but that little baby, God says no. Well, don't conform yourself to your former lust. You can't compromise. You have to do it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How are we doing with that? And if we're not doing well with it, how would we make ourselves do better with that? Well, clearly it's going to take meditate on it day and night. You can't think about things that are true unless you force yourself to say, this is true, I can think about it. This is not true, this needs to be taken out of my mind. Whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just. Same thing. These were more noble-minded, those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily. Well, they were clearly thinking about it day and night because they were examining the scriptures to see. Paul said this. How are they going to find the scripture on that? They didn't have a concordance like we do. They didn't have a book like we do. They just had scrolls. So how did they do that? Well, with a lot of effort. Standing like Joshua in the first century. It's pretty clear. Observe to do all. We remember this verse at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. You know, a lot of people think, well, I know the will of God, so that makes me faithful. No, it doesn't. That just gives you the opportunity to be faithful. I know what it is to be holy. Does that make me holy? No. Not unless I do. If I don't observe to do, how did James put it? Let not. How did he put it in James chapter 2? Faith without works is dead. If you can't observe to do what you believe, you have a barren and a dead faith. And then, of course, he gives it the opposite. If you hear these words of mine and you don't do them, that's the other problem. If you can meditate on the Word of God day and night, but you can't do it, or you won't do it, or you reject it, you're put into a very different category. So, observing to do all, and we've used this verse so many times, and there's so many denominations today, and so many worldly doctrines today that are in violation of this. So as a member of the Lord's church, we have to stand like Joshua. We can't compromise with the world. So many people are doing that today. So many people, even in churches of Christ, are making these subtle compromises so that they can be seen by everyone else as being a good person. If you want to be a good person today, being a member of the Lord's church is not the way to go. Because most people are not going to see you. You're going to become an evildoer. We're right on the cusp of it. So we have to make a decision. Our former lusts are this: the way the world is moving away, or the narrow path that leads to life. And so when we sing that song, "Dare to Stand Like Joshua," let's understand something. It was not easy for Joshua to take that stand. It was complex. It took a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of toil. Don't ever stop thinking about the law. Don't ever stop talking about the law. Don't ever stop doing the law. That's how he learned to stand. And brethren, that's how we have to learn how to stand. Not enough to say, this is how I'm going to stand, and then stand that way your whole life, and then find out on the judgment day, that's not what I told you to stand on. You made up your own stand, and then you did your own stand, and now you stand before me, but you're not standing at all. You didn't stand like Joshua. You were like Cain, or Nadab and Abihu. You stood like King Saul. Whenever it suited you, you threw my word behind your back and did what you wanted to do. So taking a stand like Joshua, great song. And a great stand, but a tough one, a difficult one. Brethren, as we open up our song of encouragement this evening, I think I've said a lot tonight that could have touched our hearts. I think I've said a lot of things tonight for us to compare how we think, how we act, how we talk with what the scriptures are. And when we sing songs like "Dare to Stand Like Joshua," and we get stirred by them, we need to understand something. We can only end up being a hypocrite if we sing a song like that and then we go out and we don't stand like Joshua. We don't. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so as we open our songbooks to number 312, and as we think about the relationship we have with our Lord, whether we need to come to Him or whether we're always with Him, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we now stand singing.